Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. I want to get this in before the rest of you go to sleep. Appreciate the good blessings of God in these days of meeting, don't you? Thank Him for what He's done for us here. Thank God for the teaching of the Word of God we've already heard this morning. We'll begin reading now in verse number 1 of Mark chapter 11. And they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. He sendeth forth two of His disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him, and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway He will send him hither. And they went their way, and found the colt tied by the door without, in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees, and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. I want to preach a little while this morning, God being my helper, on Mule Skinner Blues. I believe with all my heart that this right here is what it all comes down to. It's what you'd really be willing to do at the commandment and the desire of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a time when folks want to do big things, shiny things, things that'll be recognized and honored by the hierarchy and of the world. But we do desperately need some folks to mop the floor, to clean the restrooms, to go after a mule for God. Not to pick our jobs, not to do what we want to do, but to do what Jesus said. Not go at the directive of some organization, but to remember that we owe all of our allegiance to our Commander-in-Chief. I'm glad to thank God this morning that God does still give personal directions. I'm glad God still talks to His young'uns, aren't you? I'm glad I don't have to go to church and wonder what I'm supposed to do. Glad I don't have to wander around day by day and say, and I know out there somewhere there's a God that I really have never had personal contact with, has never spoken to me, but I'm glad, thank God, that morning I got saved, He came to live in my heart. He's been talking to me ever since. Somebody asked me, he said, do you believe in the Lordship of Christ? I didn't really know what they were talking about. And I said, well, I don't know, really. I just know that morning down yonder on the hillside, I'd gone as far as I could go, done everything I could do. And I said, Lord, live or die, sink or swim. I come to get born again this morning. I set Him on the main throne room in my heart, and He took over and has been there ever since. And if that's Lordship, I believe in it. And he said, you believe in it. And Jesus, the Bible said, went to two of His disciples. Here's the elite group. Here's
of the church, if you will. Here's the ones the Lord were teaching. Looked like every time they came down the road, folks were looking at them. But he came to two of his disciples. I don't have any idea why he picked on this particular two, but in a way I do, because he knew that they had the ability to go and get the mule that he had for them to get. Now God knows who you are and what you are and knows your abilities, and he'll put you where you need to be. I do not want one of these men's jobs. I want to do what God has for me to do. Said, I want you two fellas to go over yonder and get a mule for me. It's not a very colorful job. I'm sure it wouldn't be in the sword of the Lord. But nevertheless, the job's to be done. Now, I'm talking this morning to some mule skinners. You may not admit that's what you are, but some of you men come down here because you got mule skinner blues. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to do with the mules in your country. And you come down here to get lifted up and to get home. I'm going to be truthful with you. If you won't admit it this morning, I'll admit it for you. You do not know how to operate your church. You read all the directives and went to all the seminars, and when you think you've got it all patterned down, but when you get back up yonder by the side of the road, the same old problems and the same old mules, and what you've heard here and yonder just won't work in your circumstance. But if you pay attention to Jesus and the leadership of the Holy Ghost, he'll tell you how to run things. Ain't every church operates alike. I've told you, I guess, before, we don't take up offerings in my church. And don't look at me that way. I ain't going to preach you oughtn't to take up offerings. I'm talking about what operates. When I went to where that I'm a preaching now, there's tore all the pieces, couldn't call a pastor. And they'd have an election, and 50 would vote one way and 50 would vote the other way, and the moderator would break the tie, and then the preacher wouldn't come. And when they couldn't get anybody else, they came to my house and said, we want you. And I said, I ain't going. And they said, why not? And I said, you're a bunch of heathens. You don't want God and you don't want God's man. What you want's a puppet on the strings that you can lead around and like a monkey, make him dance when you want him to dance, and I'm not coming. And they got to crying there in my living room, 15 or 20 men, and said, preacher, you're the only one that can help us. Everybody in that country has a fear of you, and if you say it's this way, it's that way, and they won't buck you like they would other folk, and said, we want you to come. And I said, I'm not going to come. I said, if I were to come, you wouldn't pay any attention to my preaching. Pretty soon they said, oh, preacher, we'll stay with you. And boys, when that little outfit got to crying, it seemed like I could just kind of feel that little old group of sheep moving up under me. And I said, well, tell you what I will do. Here it is, the last of October, and I'll come and preach to you until the first of the year. And I'm going hunting in the woods with a big gun. And everything gets up, I'm going to blow it clear into hell where it belongs. And if you can stand it till the first of the year, why, then I may let you have an election and call me. Boys, I went up there and went to preaching, and they got to holler, and I'd preach, and they'd holler back at me and say, let us have it, preacher, preach, preach, preach. Boy, that went to getting a hold of me, and God touched my heart. Now, I'm going to tell you, fellas, if that's, you never feel that little old group get up under you like a little old bunch of chickens, and you get to where you'd fight for them, there's something wrong with you being there. I call that bunch my bunch of Green County heathens, but don't you ever call them that. I'll get you. That's my group, and I love them with all my heart, and I'd fight for them. God sent me into that country to do something special. And I'm going to tell you what, there ain't none of you fellas this morning that make any difference to me of where you went to school or how able you are. You couldn't handle Union Chapel Church. You couldn't handle it. You say, oh, yes. No, you couldn't. You see, that's my place. I took Brother Lockie and I go to these fine churches. Thank God for Brother Lockheed's church, and some of these men got big churches, and that's wonderful. And I took them up there, and I thought, Lord, what are they going to think of this little old building? I went, was up in Hammond a while back in a meeting, and I said, I want to go down and see Brother Hyle's church. And we went down there, and they stopped us at the door and wouldn't let us go through without a guide. They said you'd have to have a guide to go through. Now, you don't have to have that at Union Chapel. I just go over and throw the main doors open and say, there it is. But we had a guide. They had a room in there that was probably a fourth or something as big as this auditorium. Had nothing in there but baby beds. And I knew there's always a doing something, you know. And I said, did y'all get a good deal on baby beds and going to resell them? And they said, no, that's our nursery. And I said, how many did y'all have in the nursery Sunday morning? He flipped through that book and said, 750 in the nursery on Sunday morning. And I said, well, how many did you have in Sunday school? And he flipped through that book again and said, 25,000 in Sunday school on Sunday morning. I walked out into that auditorium, and I said, could I get up there behind that stand? And he said, yeah, go ahead, preacher. Stand up there. And I got up there and looked out, and it was all seats laying in tiers and in balconies. And he said, preacher, what are you crying about? And I said, thank God for Union Chapel. That little old church up there to the side of the road where God put me, that's my place. I took Brother Lockheed and some preachers in, and I, in a way, you know, I kind of thought, well, they'll think, well, preacher, maybe ain't got much, but I got to crying. I got inside, and Brother Lockheed was walking down the aisle, and he said, what's the matter? I said, well, thank God for my place. Ain't no place like where God put you. My little old job may not look like very much to this world, that brother that's pushing every little old button for bigger crowds and to get their name in print somewhere, but thank God for where He put me. That's the job that absolutely that I fit. And I won't say I couldn't operate in your church either. The first Sunday that I was there, I was having all trouble taking up offerings and having money, and I said, no offerings took up today. I got done preaching and put the collection place down on the what we call the owner's bench and said, there it is. If you want her to run, throw it in. If you don't, we'll shut her down. And that got a hold of them folks, and here they come. Started putting money. We give away more money last year, brother, than that church had took up in 5 years previous to that. I'm not saying you ought to take up offerings. I'm going to say God has a work and a plan just for you. And if you do it God's way, God will see to it that it works. We're too worried about a lot of results anyhow, getting everything just right in order that the other preachers that our peers pass by and say, what a wonderful work. Well, at the judgment's what I'm worried about. When God checks over what I've done, He'll check over how much and how close that I followed His directions. Somebody said, what are you boys doing in the Lord's work? I hear them. I'm not real sure that that's not where tongues started. I hear them boys say, well, I'm so kind of funny. If you're not careful over in the town, they'll say, preacher, how big a church you got? And now you're not careful, you'll go to wanting to talk in tongues too, because you got a little old group up there on the side of the road and don't look like very much, and the building maybe don't look like very much. You know what y'all do? Throw out your chest. Yeah. And say, God sent me over to this little place, and I got 17 in Sunday school, and last Sunday morning God came in and blessed us, and you ought to thank God for where He put you. Said, I'm glad God sent me after that bunch of mules up there, because that's what God wants.
Amen.
They said, we're going forth on the mission field. The blessed Lord did send us. We're going forth to get the mule, be he Southern or independent. Ain't that right? Doesn't make a bit of difference. You know, we'll cut little old lines here and say, well, that don't fit into our program, and I don't want the association to find out about this and do that. Now, I understand everything ought to be done decently and in order and biblically, but I'm going to tell you, folk, we should care less of what other folk think as long as it's being done under the holy direction of the Lord God of heaven. Wonder what about them preachers' wives when folks asked them, said, what does your husbands do? That's a shameful thing, you know. If I see a preacher, if I know a preacher that doesn't have a church, maybe his church has turned him out, I would never go to him or to his wife and shame him in any way. Oh, that's a bad time and a hurtful. You see, if he's in the will of God, I'd better leave him alone. I saw these boys walk across. God said there's a mule over there and he's tied. Boy, it became evident to me, I believe it was yesterday over yonder in my room, that somewhere, somehow, God already had seen that mule. And he knew exactly where he was tied. That really helps me. And he told them what kind of situation that they'd find the mule in. I really like that because, you see, I know that every job God tells me to do, he's already cased the joint. He knows exactly what's going on. He's checked out the heart and the temperament. And he knows that if I'll talk right, he even told them what to say when they got there. If anybody asked them questions, boys, that's nice to have an instructor that'll tell you what the situation to be before you ever get to where the mule is. Tell you that the mule is there and that he's tied. Oh, where two ways you can't beat that cat. But the Lord knows. I see them fellas walk up and on the hill, and one said, there he is. Sure as the world said, now wait a minute before we go down there. Let's look him over real good. Said, what kind of mule do you think that is? And one of them said, well, I'll tell you what I believe he's a southern mule. He said, well, what makes you think that? And he said, well, he's tied, ain't he? Said, see that rope on him right there? He can't go but so far and he runs to the end of his leash. Said, what do you think about him? And I said, I believe he's an independent mule. He said, what makes you think that? He said, well, look at them ears laid back. Said, He's a stomping and a kicking at everything that gets in reach of him. Said it just generally messing up the whole area of where he's at. But one of them said, you know, I don't remember the Lord saying anything about that. Said he didn't say check him out before we went down there and make up our own mind about whether or not he'd tie in with our group. Said the Lord just said go down there and get him. Boys, I hope you can get that. I hope you not only get it, I hope you'll swallow it. Brother, we're standing in need right here in this age to just go at God's command and don't do any culling in our own brain, in our own heart, but to preach the Word of God and give the message to sinners. Went down there and untied that mule. Boy, them fellas that they said what God said would be there, they're right there. And he said, you'll find him in there where two ways meet. Boy, we're right in that age now that you can't do anything unless it's right where two different opinions are, where two different ways meet everything. Brother, you'll start to do one thing, another fellow says, that's the wrong way to do it. God help us. But there's not but one way. There's not but one way to get a hold of sinners' hearts. And that's to do it the Bible way and on the direction of the Holy Ghost of God. Everywhere I go, everybody's got a different plan on how to get saved. Some of them said, well, there's not really anything to repentance. And there's not really anything in faith and repentance is inseparable. And somebody else said, well, all you got to do is believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And somebody else said, you got to get on a mourner's bench and pray for 3 days and try to beat salvation out of the floor and out of the bench and stomp and holler in order to get God. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. If I asked Brother Earl this morning, I'm going to say, now, I'm going to go home in the morning, Brother Earl. And I need to know how I'm going to go around by Knoxville, Tennessee, and I need to know how to get there. And Brother Earl said, I'm going to tell you what, you get out here on this road that goes by Myrtle, and you go toward Memphis, and he said, you go 500 miles, and then you turn south, and you go 500 more miles, and after a while you'll see a sign that says Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to say one or two things about Brother Earl. He's either the biggest liar in Mississippi or he never has been to Knoxville. Ain't that right? And if I ask you how to get right with God, what I need to do in order to be born again, and you start some little old garbage about all you got to do is repent and be baptized, or you say all you got to do is walk up there and say, here I am, you lucky God, and let them put your name down and take you to the Baptist, I'm going to say one or two things about you. You're either the most wicked liar in the state where you lived, or you've never been saved. Amen. I know what it takes to get saved. See, I've been there. Oh, yes. And I see them fellows untie that mule. The fellow said, what are you all doing? I can see most folks give their credentials to them. God help us. Boys, I'm going to tell you the best credentials you ever had is to be born again. I mean to be saved. I told somebody a while back, maybe Brother Lockheed's, I was in a meeting in Michigan and we ate at a restaurant and they said, now that's Canada right over there. And I said, you're kidding me. And they said, no, that's Canada right across that river there. And I said, could y'all take me over there? Am I allowed to go in there? And they said, well, yeah, you can go in there. And I said, drive me. I've never been in Canada and I wanted to go. We got and went down under that river and wound around. We got over there to the gate and they said, are you U.S. citizens? And we said, yes. Said, what are you going to do? And we said, just circle and come back. And they said, all right, go ahead. We went and made our circle and I didn't feel right. I was in a strange land. Ever since I've been saved, I don't feel right in a strange country. I went over in a circle and come back and I saw those American guards there on that post and I said, Lord God, I feel good. I was sweating. I thought, maybe what if they won't let me back in my country? And we went up there and it just so happened that that guard had an aggravating spirit on him. Saw our van come in, looked down through his eyebrows and said, come over and said, where are you going? We said, we're going across the river here. And he said, you American citizens? Oh, yes, sir. Said, prove it. Said, well, I got my driver's license. I said, I'm from Kentucky. Said, it don't mean a thing to me. So I got my driver's license here to prove it. Said, don't prove a thing. You get driver's license, dime a dozen. And that began to aggravate me, and I never did understand it. And he said, I said, what in the world would prove it? And he said, well, number one, a birth certificate. And then he said, if you had a baptismal record to lay right underneath that, he said, that really tied on the bush. I stayed aggravated till Sunday morning. My Sunday school teacher, the adult Sunday school teacher, was teaching about us not being citizens of this country. That our citizenship is in another world. And God brought that back to me and said, the way you prove that is you have a birth certificate. Now, if that guard had said the main thing you got, you needs a baptismal certificate, I'd have said he's a Campbellite and just thrown him off into the river. But he said, number one, you got to have a birth certificate. And God said if you had a baptismal certificate to lay underneath that, that'd be the kicker. Amen, amen. I like that. I see them boys get that mule and start back down. And the Bible said that never anybody had sat on him, not been broke. And I wonder about him being broke to lead. But boys, God has got a way of breaking folks to lead. I had my wife's uncle told me they used to get those big draft horses out in the West and bring them in here and teach them horses and to lead and to plow. And he said the way we taught them to lead, we'd tie them with one of them big grass ropes and big inch grass ropes and tie them to a foundation post in the barn. And then he said we'd take a gunny sack and he said they'd fight us. We'd take a gunny sack and we'd beat him in the face and get him to sling in his head. And he said until we knew he was getting sore enough. And then we'd go to the house and eat dinner. And when we come back, they said his face would be swelled up around there. And he said we'd unloose that thing and tug on that rope. Sometimes, God has to treat you pretty rough to break you to leave. Get you to go where he wants you to. And how, boys, I'll tell you the easiest thing to be is listen to the voice of God. And when he says, come, just go on and do whatever he wants you to do. I never have known how to deal with sinners. Never have known how to go after the lost. Every situation's different. Boys, when I talk to a lost man, I say, God help me. I don't know what this mule will do. I don't know how to lead him. And I'm glad God knows the heart and knows the situation, aren't you? And I see them fellas walk back, go back down the road and get close to where the Lord is. And one of them sat down and said, hey, have you noticed this mule acts like he knows where he's going? Said he acts like there's something pulling on his lead rope besides us. And hey, if the Holy Ghost never gets a hold of the lead rope, forget it. You're not able to lead a lost sinner to Jesus Christ by yourself. It'll take the leadership and the pull of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Somebody told me in Louisville just a while back, said I was at a preacher's conference, and they said, we've just had revival. And I said, is that right? Did you have anybody saved? And they said, have anybody saved? We had a team to come down here from Indiana and set up here in the community, and said, we had 75 saved. And I said, is that right? And I said, well, I guess they're all in school. But we had night service, and nobody still there much, but just preachers and preachers. And I said, where's them 75 people? Oh, they don't come to church. And I said, how in the world did you get them saved? And they said, well, mostly through the screen door. And I call it now screen door evangelism. And they went and just went from screen door and talked to them, you know, with beer in their hand and watching television. And if you used to die tonight and all that kind of stuff, and read to them and get them to agree to a set of facts, and then just put their name down that they're born again. God help us. The lost will never get saved until they get lost. And it'll take the Holy Ghost to lead them to Jesus Christ. In these last days, we got so many fellas running around for pay that's teaching folks how to live and how to be so-called victorious. Boys, we need a movement of God in our churches like never before. Boys, revival in the church will settle things that nobody else and anything else, no other plan can settle. If we'll pay attention to the leadership of the Holy Ghost of God, that'll do the job. You'll believe what I'm preaching. Lord God, I hope you do. Preachers, I won't tell you this morning. Nobody else knows what you need to do up your church. You pay attention to the Master. God Himself is interested in what you're doing. Doesn't make any difference how little the work is. God's interested in what you're doing. He knows where you are. He knows He's been watching your boat. And He knows exactly where you are on this troubled sea. And your job is to go after the mule. It's not to cull anybody. It's not to try to do somebody else's plan or take somebody else's directions. But it's to go at the command of the Lord Jesus. And if you'll do that, I'm afraid some of us will have to answer to God because we followed somebody else's directions and had some kind of success. But if we'll follow the Lord Jesus, you don't have to worry about anybody. You can march into the judgment and say, Lord, the number wasn't very big, but I did what you wanted me to do. I want to echo what Brother Allison said. There is a blessing in quantity. You can get so tied up in quality that you won't get any quantity. But I'm going to tell you, we ought to be concerned about quality, and the quality is to follow and do what God said do. And that'll always work. You'll be a successful mule skinner. Your plans won't always be what the other fella would like for them to be. But that's the reason God didn't send that other fella down there, sent you. Ma'am, you hear this old bald-headed hillbilly preacher this morning. Don't ever be ashamed of your husband if he's a preacher or a worker for God. When he's staying over yonder in that prayer place and getting directions, make any difference if he's got 6 or 8 in Sunday school. God sent him after a mule. It's nobody else's business. Nobody else's business but his and God's, how he operates the thing. And what we need to do is to believe that when folks obey God, they'll have the success that God wants them to have.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm saved this morning. I'm glad God's made me a mule skinner and put me in this business. Thank God I'd ever I never dreamed back yonder walking them hills, preaching to the birds and rabbits. I told you yesterday morning, I never dreamed that I'd get to be in a place like this. Oh, Lord God. They called me last year and told me they might want me to preach down here, and my heart about stopped. Thank God. Boys, whatever you do and wherever you go, honor the blessed Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord God, He saved me back over yonder when nobody loved me. When I told you yesterday, wouldn't speak to me. When I went to town, I was that Milby boy back over yonder that we didn't have any money and didn't know hardly from one meal to the other what we was going to eat. But the King of Glory come down one day and got in my heart and saved me. Lo and behold, one blessed night up yonder in the bed, laying back in the back room, the snow could sift in on my bed. Lord Jesus, I was laying there thinking about my life and how useless it was, and I couldn't get anywhere nor be anything. And God said, son, I want you to preach. Hallelujah. I'm glad this morning of God selecting me and said, son, there's some mules I want you to go after. I want to thank him right in public here this morning in Myrtle, Mississippi, at Cape Zion. Thank God he counted me worthy to be a mule skinner. I wonder this morning if you want to just operate under God's direction. I wonder if you're willing to just do what he says. I appreciate God letting me preach this morning. I appreciate your attention. May God bless you.